Gemisches Mal, come on.
Good morning. We must say about Metzia Daf Yudalad Yad. Yad Hashem, right? At Shabbat Matzliach, dedicate the shield in the Shmot when it has died in this war. We saw another soldier yesterday, the tankist was declared dead. And all those civilians, the Putsuim, should be healed. I believe that, that Hananya came out of hospital yesterday. I saw that he came out of hospital yesterday. And everyone else should be healed, and Chatufim, Daniel, Shimon, Ben Sharon, and all the others, Mishri Matzliach. Okay. So we're still busy over here discussing the Gemara. Said that we got a, that we had a tiyufta on Rabbi Elazar with two, or with one, and a tiyufta against Shmuel, two tiyuftas to Shmuel. The Gemara actually in the end brought two tiyuftas to Rabbi Elazar, but the side in the Gemara said, no, it's really all the underlying reason for Rabbi Elazar's, svara is that because he says that Rabbi Elazar said the whole machlok is when the chayev isn't mode. Right? And then because it's when the chayev isn't mode, so the whole argument basically is all one argument. And that's why it's only one tiyufta. Okay, now the Gemara said yesterday there were two tiyuftas to Shmuel. Right? We'll see in a moment the Gemara will review what Shmuel just said. So Gemara says tiyufta to Shmuel betar to chayev kerabi Elazar. So we saw already the brighter that Rabbi Yochanan brought was Shetanya Kavata had not Rabbi Yochanan bring it. The Gemara brought it in the previous Amud Yugimah Amud Bet. We had the second last narrow lines there. Tanya Kavata Rabbi Yochanan v'tiyuvta Rabbi Elazar b'chada v'tiyuvta d'Shmuel b'tarti. And in that brighter that we brought, we said that he bought a Shtar Chov and a had achrayt nechasim. Right, even though both of them agree, don't machzir neither to them. If it hasn't got achrayt nechasim, then it would depend if the lover agreed, then you give it back. If the lover didn't agree, you wouldn't give it back. That was Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Meir said, "Shtar chov sheshu achrayt nechasim, govim nechasim shubanim." You can claim from nechasim if it's got achrayut. You can attack land from that's mishubanim. If it hasn't got achrayut, then only from then free land. Now Chachamim said there, all that makes the difference. You can always attack from Menachasim Shubadim. So Gemara says, firstly, because Rabbi Elazar said, like Shmuel, Rabbi Elazar said, Moki Matidim B'Shein Chayav Mode, and our writer says, when it's Chayav Mode, not B'Shein Chayav Mode, so that's Tiyuf number one to Rabbi Elazar. And V'chadet Amar Shmuel, Shmuel also said, Matzah Shtar Hakna B'Shuk Yachzir Balim, V'lo Chashin Piraon, said that you aren't concerned about Piraon. And we said, if you found, that was how Rabbi Elazar started off, we said b'shtar on Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. Instead, we said b'shtar hakna'a hu d'sheh b'nafshe. Right? The whole idea of here was he said that if it's a shtar hakna'a, where a shtar we saw there, the shtar hakna'a was that the guy had already taken responsibility even before he received the money. Right? Look, Rashi Shachar says, "Leikel Mamar Ktav Lelavot Velo Lavad Hafiru Lo Lava Sheh B'nafshe." Even if he had got the money, he was responsible. He said, in a case like that, we aren't choshesh to piraon. We aren't concerned that the shtar being repaid, and therefore give it back. And the Gemara now says to Yufta, diktani hach af bisheshnei modim. So yeah, he says, even though both agree that the shtar that the loan exists, lo yachzir lo zeh v'lo lezeh. Why? Al mechashen the piraon, because we are concerned that it was piraon. And if we don't believe it, we don't accept it, and that's the second to Yufta. And the kol shekain hach adlo modim love. And how much more says in our case? The Lover doesn't acknowledge the debt that we're concerned that there was Piraon and the Malveh's line. Okay, so that's really the end of the sugya from yesterday. Okay, so now Amar Shmuel, my time of Rabbanan. Up until now we discussed Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir shit in the Mishnah. Let's just take a moment and look at the Mishnah again, and just see the different shittot in the Mishnah. It was on Yud Bet. I'm out of the Mishnah, right? Yes, Mishnah Yud Aleph Bet says, no. Where was it? Hold on. Help me. Yeah, on Yud Bet. I'm with Bet. Matzah Shitrei Chov. So the guy finds loan agreements. If there is a chrayut nechasim, you don't give it back. Why? Because Beit Din will use them, and we're concerned. If ain't a chrayut nechasim, you give them back, right? Nifrahen, and that's Rabbi Meir. Chachamim said, whether it's got achrayut, hasn't got achrayut, you don't give it back. Why? Because Beit Din will use the achrayut, will start, even if he hasn't got achrayut, and we saw what will they do with it. They will gavi from Bnei Chari, from unencumbered land. Okay? So that is That was Rabbanan. So now we're discussing Rabbanan. Rabbanan says you never give the star back under any circumstance. I'm a Shema, my time at Rabbanan. So he says, why not Rabbanan? Because Rabbanan, he says, listen to this. Amri will answer. He says, why does Rabbanan say you never give it back? And Rashi fine tunes the question. My time, my Rabbanan. Look at Rashi. The Amre, ki ein bo achrayut nechasim go ve'afim meshubadim. Even if it isn't achrayut, as a rule, if a star, not a lost star, you know, a normal star, if a star hasn't got, even if it hasn't got achrayut written into the star, Chachamim say you can still use that star to go ve' even from meshubadim, even from incumbent lands. Why? How come? He says, because Savrei Rabbi Shmuel's of the opinion that Rabbanan hold achrayut ta'ut soferu. There's no such thing as a star without achrayut. If achrayut was left out, it's a mistake of the scribe. So he says, Shmuel already said such a thing? That it's always a mistake of a scribe? He says, V'ha'amar Shmuel. But didn't Shmuel tell us in another circumstances when it came to Shevach or Shefer v'Shi'abud? Right? Rashi explains what they, what all these different terms are. Look at Rashi. Shevach, Shefer v'Shi'abud. Ha'sofer tzarich. Well, the Gemara says, tzarich limalech. Whereas the Sofer has to go and consult with the seller. Look at Rashi in the Rashi. Sofer tzarich limalech b'mocher sadelech. Where a guy is sending a field to his friend. To go to the seller and consult with him. L'sha'el hemenu. And I said to him, are you accepting upon yourself the following conditions? Mekabel alav lichtov b'shtar ha-mechira, shu shi'abed lo nechasav le-mechira zo. One, are you giving shi'abud? Are you dedicating assets to cover this debt? The sale. She'im yavo bal chovo v'yitrafenu min alokeach, she'gve lokeach in ha-keren v'ha-shevach. Number two, when you are giving guarantees, are the guarantees for the keren, the underlying principle that the guy paid you, plus any shevach? In other words, you sell a field to somebody and you now go and plant that field and you start growing stuff on that field. And then it turns out it wasn't your field and somebody challenges the deal and you lose the land. And you've now got to compensate your buyer. Do you have to compensate him? Are you accepting yourself compensation just for the money you paid him? Or even for the improvements that he made on the field while he was using the field? Number two. And number three, mishefer. What is shefer? So Rashi says, yeah, shefer, right, is idit shebenachasim. That when you pay him back, he's got the right to claim from you your best lands in compensation. I don't want money. I want land. Give me back your best lands that you've got. So you've got three conditions over here that this is a kashi against Shmuel. But it says to Rav Avin, to Idi Bar Avin. Is that a fact that Shmuel says that it's a ta'ut sofer? But yeah, we see the sofer has to go and consult to see what accepting, what you're taking onto your onto your deal. In other words, if the software didn't put it in, it's after he consulted with you, you said no, and left it out. So what do you mean it's a mistake? Why, if we say across the board that the software has to always write achrayut to understand if you left that achrayut, then you can say it was a mistake. But we see over here that there are all types of achrayut. He doesn't have to write it in as a default. He has to consult with you and get your consent. So if he left it out, maybe you said no. Right, so he said, lay my mind, amar ha, lo amar ha. So he says, you know what? You want to tell me? He says, maybe it's a steer over here. Maybe there's a machloket in Shmuel. And the Shmuel who said, the guy who quoted Shmuel by saying what we said, Tzavar Achrayut, that is a ta'ut, maybe it's not the same person who said over here in this Shmait of Shmuel that he has to go and consult. Maybe they're two different people. Right? Look at Rashi, Mishmait of Shmuel, Nam Shmuel. So that seems to be like all part of the question. In other words, did Shmuel already say that? Maybe it's the machloket in Shmuel. Maybe he never said it. Maybe there's people who say one thing, say other things. So he says, no, lo kashya. Kan b'shtar halva'a, delo avin ish zuze bichdi, kan lemekach umemkad, avin ish tezavin ara leyome. He says, no, really what we're talking about, two scenarios over here. Scenario one is a shtar halva'a lending money. He says, nobody lends money without achrayut. Basically, they're not going to throw their money away. He says, "Delo yahav inish zuze bichdi." No one just put their money down for without any guarantees. So in a shtar chov, it's always achrayut. In a mekach umemkar, but maybe when a guy sells somebody a field, that's what that Shmuel is speaking about. When he says, "Go and consult with the guy what terms you want to sell," because he says maybe a guy says the avid inish, there are people the zavin arele yume that sell it only for one day. Was I sell you my field for a day? I don't know, make people, I don't know, you want to impress a woman and show that you own a big farm and I sell you the thing and you can go and want to make a shidduch and you can go and show that you've got a lot of land assets. I don't know what the reason would be. There's a note there maybe, why would somebody want to do it? I don't know. But, and therefore, people do are quicker to take risks when it comes to a sale than they would be when it comes to a loan. And he brings a proof of that. Isn't
it a rental to sell something for a day? For a sale?
I don't know if it's a called a sale. If the contract says title deed and sale, and you registered in the tabu, it's a sale. De facto, it might be a 10, maybe same as a rental. Maybe that's why the guys aren't so concerned about it, because they know it's only for one day, and the next they get their money back. But I mean,
I think another way of looking at it is someone's willing to take the risk on buying land that could at a later date be taken away, and he's willing to buy it at a cheaper price, and in the meantime, he's getting income from the land.
Okay, we're going to see that's going to come.
That's
going to come up later. We'll see that just now. The reason why I explain it this way, you'll see the Gemara's going to discuss different in a moment, a response to that, and he's going to say that you were prepared to take the chance because you got a good deal. This isn't the answer now. So I don't know if the note that you're reading now refers to this specifically, because we'll see. Because he says, if you had the Arel Yome, you're prepared to buy land for the day. In other words, you're living one day at a time. That's it. I understand the Pshat Gemara. Look at the story here. Who bought an aliyah, an alita, right? Like an attic from his sister. At a balchov, tarfemine. And a balchov came and took it away from him. So Atla came to Shmuel. He came himself. Avua Bari came to Shmuel and said, Amale. So Shmuel says to him, Katva lecha achrayut? Was there achrayut in the star? He says, Amale, no. So if that's the case, imken zila shalma, go pay. In other words, the daughter, the wife, the sister says, he says to the sister, what's this going on here? Did you give achrayut? So he says, no, I don't know the comment. Bottom line, he says, go pay, you got to pay the money. Look at Rashi over here. He says, zila shalma, ein kan od din shemachir lako. In other words, if there's no achrayut over here, so he says, no achrayut, basically, seems like he loses the money that he paid. He's got to give the attic back. So I'm alive. So now it seems like he says to Shmuel, but aren't you the one who says that Amrei Achrayut Taut Sofru? That's always a Taut. That knows Achrayut is implicit in any agreement. So I'm alive. So Shmuel said to him, "Hani midi b'shitra halva." That's only in the loan agreement. Aba b'shitra mekach umenkach lo. Why the avid inch the zabin ara liyume? Because a person will sell land for day by day situation. There's no Rashi on this over here. But we'll see in a moment what you're answering. We'll see it come up in the next Amud. So that seems to be a simple solution to that steering Shmuel, that when it comes to a Shtar Chov, Shmuel says it's always speaking about Achrayut, and our mission is discussing a Shtar Chov. Because now Abai said, because Reuven Shemachasi to Shimon, Reuven sold the field to Shimon ba'achrayut, with Achrayut, look at Rashi. Im yitrefua mimen, if someone will come and grab it from him, yishalem lo, you'll pay him back. You'll get compensation. Uba ba'al Chov de Reuven, and Reuven's creditor came, but Katarif Lemine. And so Reuven sold to Shimon, and Reuven's creditor arrived at Shimon's door and grabbed the land back. But Katarif Lemine. So it says Abaya, Dinahu, this is the din. The Azir Reuven Mishtai Dinah Bahadeh. Reuven has to go now and deal with it. Velo Matzi, look how Rashi changes Lo Matzi around here. It's not Reuven can't say, but the Balchov. Look at Rashi, the fourth line from the bottom of Rashi there. V'lo mati ba'achov le'meimalei. The ba'achov, the creditor, can't say to Reuven, lav ba'al dvarim didiyat bedavar, don't you come get involved here, Reuven. I've got nothing to do with you. You've already sold this to your friend. Ze'a karke Shimon l'ani notel. I'm taking it from Shimon, not from you. If you want, go take me to court, but I don't have to deal with you. At the moment, that's how what our buyer says. In other words, the creditor can't choose. The creditor has to deal with the original guy. Why? Because Reuven can say to the creditor, the maf tmine alai didi hadar. Whatever you take from him, he's going to basically come back and bounce back to me. Because I'm the guy standing in line here. I'm on the I'm on the line. And therefore, right, I'm on the hook, right? If you take me, I'm going to pay him back. It could have me, some say a little differently. Even he isn't a chayot in the star. The Amalei, right? Even there wasn't a chayot, why? He could still say this to him, because Reuven could say, Amalei lo nichali de lahave le Shimon teromet alai. Even though the creditor could say to Reuven, what do you care? You haven't got a chayot? Let me take my land back. It's not a chayot. You don't have to worry. He said, no, I don't want the guy ever blaming me and saying, I bought land from Reuven and this happened to me. I'm taking responsibility, even there wasn't a chariot in it. That's what I buy. I promise you we'll get back to the answer just now what we spoke about of the Avada de Yuma. Okay, we'll see that now that you mentioned. I'm going to buy another Amaya over here. It says, Reuven Shemachas to Shimon. If Reuven sold to Shimon land, Shlo Bachar, without a chariot. V'yatsu aleya asikin. And there was asikin. What's asikin? Look at Rashi over here, the very last lines of Rashi. Orarin kamo it ashkuimu. Right, and now suddenly that sale, the owner, the original ownership of Reuven becomes a challenge. Look, there's a Likutei Rashi over here from Baba Kama. We saw this. He says, "Orerin lomar shelanuhi." Some people come and say, "Wasn't yours to sell? It's ours." Kamo gemara kativya in Breishit ki itaskuimo shemarerin ala machzikpa. It came from Shvut. They're challenging the ownership. So now, what's the question? A guy around and says, "The land that you own is mine." So now can the buyer say, okay, I don't want it and give it back, give my money back, get out of the deal. So Gemara says like this. This is a buyer. It says, Ad shelo hichzikba, if this challenge to the ownership of Reuven before Shimon took hold of the land, Ad shelo hichzikba, yachol lachzor bo. Right? He can say, I want out the deal. Look at Rashi says over here, Ube shelo natan ma, that's if he hasn't given money yet. If he hasn't given money yet and he hasn't had chazoka, and there's no chazoka, no money, he can put out of the deal. Mishaykh zikba, from the moment he has chazoka, and right, eino yachol lachzor bo. Too late now. He can't put a Rashi. Even if he hasn't given the money yet, why? Look at Rashi, the second line of Rashi, Shakar can nip that bechazaka. Vahamaot haze milve. Because at the moment he just owes the guy alone. The money is irrelevant. How do you buy karka, shtar, right, or chazaka, right? So yeah, the fact that he was on the field and he did something on the field already and he's acted as an owner, he's taken possession of the land, and the fact that he hasn't given the money, he owes the money. The money's an outstanding loan, but he's got no connection whatsoever, right? Look at this. Because the seller says to the buyer, chayta de kitri. Look at the, we call it in our language a lucky packet. Right? Anybody else know that term, lucky packet? I've discussed this shit before, but South Africans, Englishmen, you must know what a lucky packet is, right? Any Englishman there? Steve, you know what a lucky packet is? Hey? Aria, you know what a lucky packet is? Never heard, David? Never heard? So a lucky packet is like a sakit hafta'a. You know, you buy it here in Israel, like a sakit hafta'a. Well, like you could buy, you know what they're in? Like the kids get them, you buy these packets, and every packet's got something different inside it. Right? And no one knows what it is. So he says, "Aviyah, chayte de kitri." This you bought a Rashi says, "Aviyah, chayte de sikri." Sack my leg, sharim, a bag full of knots, right? Savarta vekibalta. There's a Rashi over here from Ktubot. He says over here, "Bedmei chatichot kesef for small monies." In other words, klomar nitratzeit laabed ma'otecha misafek. But you bought something for cheap, and therefore you're prepared to take the risk. Right, that's why I think that this is the way that they were explaining over there by Avida Yume, right? That you were getting a good deal, and therefore you knew you were getting a good deal, and a good deal always comes with risks, right? That's why sometimes when a deal's too good to be true, it usually is, right? That's what he means over here. You knew this deal was a good-looking deal, and you took the risk. You bought a bag full of knots. You knew what it was, and therefore, what do you want from me? So now the Gemara says, "Me'amatahava has chazaka." So when would chazaka be? We say over here that as soon as he had done chazaka, he can't get back the land. So he says, "Mikidayish amatre." Rashi says, "Aviyah mikidayish amatre." Metaken gvulei asadeh magbiam. The moment that he started dealing with the borders of the land, he started like raising up the borders so the water would flow nicely, or dedicate making it a little mound around the sides. So it's clear what his ownership was. As soon as he's done the least amount of work, he didn't have to start plowing or digging, or investing in furrows and building stuff. No, he just started pushing around the borders a bit of land to make it stand up nicer. That's already
for 24 hours, just to own it for 24 hours.
No, there are two different stories over here. The previous story was we said that because there are people who sell land like on a short-term basis or on a daily basis, or maybe take a chance from live from day to day. Oh, here they're talking about you got a good deal. They're two different cases. We're not talking about the same cases now, Dad. This is our buyer, a second our buyer. It's another case altogether. Okay. So, Vikirami Afilu Bachrayut Namit. Some even there was a chrayut. Right? Look at the last lines of the wild lines right at the top there. Afal Gav, the Sof Sof Alea Hadar. Any Acholach Zorbo. Why? He says, even if he sold it with Achrayut, he still can't give the money, the get put out of the deal. Now, we're not talking about if the guy loses the field, right? If it's proven in the end that it wasn't his and he sold it with Achrayut, he's going to have to pay up. We talk about in the meantime, while the challenge is taking place, the court proceedings could go on for 10 years. During those 10 years, during the time of the court proceedings, the guy who did the deal, he was already taken chazoka, can't pull out of the deal until it's determined what's happening. Look what he says over here, Rashi. The sof sof alehad, even though if it's going to come back to him, ain yachol achzor, he can't pull out now, shamocher ma'akev alav, so long as they're still on the land. V'lo matziyamer hoyo v'sofcha l'shalem ni ma'otai, hashta debiyadei akvam. And he says, I don't understand, and he can't say, since in the end, even though you're going to pay me back, why are you not giving me back the money now? You know you're going to lose this land. Give me back the money now, let me get out of here. I don't want to be here. He says, no. Until it's proven that the deal is unfolded, I'm not giving back your money. Right? That's the bottom line. Until we can prove it. As long as you're on the land, I'm hanging on to my money. No one's chucking you out. No one's doing anything whatsoever. Because the Gemara brings a shmaita tavia now. Itmar. Amoche sadele chaveiro. That's a machlok between Rav and Shmuel about the situation like that. Amoche sadele chaveiro benimtzei shen shlo. Turns out it's not his. I look at Rashi Shana Shiloh. Shiloh Eta Shel Mocheh, that didn't belong to the seller. Shata Gzule Beyadot was stolen. He had, right? Vahanigzal Ba Umotzi Miyad Halokeh. The case, according to Rashi, is quite simple. A guy stole land and then sold it. And the Nigzal, the guy who it was stolen from, now how do we sell land? He put a gun in his head and he threw him away. And eventually the guy got together. I suppose maybe the government changed, and now the people who were better people, they better to defend his rights, or I don't know, got some strong arm guys together. Whatever the case was, he was in a situation to get his land back. And he arrived and got his land back. And now he chucked you off the land, he took the land back. Okay? Rav Amar, Yesh lo Maot, v'yesh lo Shevach. So Rav says that this Lokeach, right, he gets his money back and he gets his improvements back. Now, Rashi asked an interesting question over here. Look at this question of Rashi. It's says, Yesh lo lokeach, Rashi says, yeah, min amocher maot, the money, the principal that he paid, v'yesh lo shevach. Im ze yishpiach et akarka bezevel o begader, kodim shotziu nigzal miyado. If he had manured the place, fixed up the ground, or he'd built fences, whatever the case was, go v'lokeach min amocher, the shevach. He gets back
to give the money back from?
The guzlin, who sold it to him, has to now pay him back. The guzlin got, he paid the guzlin to buy the land from him. The guzlin's got to pay him back the money that he took. It was unjust for enrichment. And now the question is he entitled to get the money back of the improvements, only the money back that he paid the land? So Rav says he gets them both back. And Shmuel says he only gets the money back of the land. Doesn't get the improvements back. Right, so Rashi, but look at Rashi now. V'im tomar anigzal yitein ha-shevach sheheshivu karka meshubachat. Right, the guzlin might say to the moch, to the buyer, what do you want from me from? I'm happy to pay you the land back that you bought me land, you paid me 1 million shekels for the land, here's your 1 million shekels. But you say, what about the 300,000 shekels that I invested in new fences and in irrigation, etc., etc., etc.? He says, that's not my problem. That go to the guy who I stole the land from, because who's getting the benefits of it? Him. I stole undeveloped land. So as the guzlan veshiveta davar, eshiveta eta gazal, what's it where we said the gemara says eshiveta gzela asher gazal, the pasuk says, right? Veshiveta gzela, I'm going to give back the gzela asher gazal. What did I steal? I stole undeveloped land. He's getting back developed land. That's your cheshbon with him now. Right, Rashi said, what if you would say that? Ve'im tomar hanigzal yiten ha-shevach shere ha-yishivu karka meshuvach, yesh lomar, right, the Bach adds in the words, yesh lomar, right, yesh lomar kegon shegazla meshubachat vechsifa biyala gazlin. No. He could turn the nigzal could say, when you stole it, it was improved. Under your watch, the whole thing fell apart again, and all this new kone did was fix it up to the state that it was when you stole it. Which it's not straightforward, says Rashi, that the guzlan can just walk away from the improvements. That's why Rav says that he gets the karka. Rav says ma'ot, right? So Rav says Hold on. Itmar Amar Rab Nachman. No, hold on. Place it. Itmar Hamoches the Chaver Binitzer Shenu Gad. Rabbi Mar Yeshlo Mar Veyeshlo Shevach. Because how do you know? And Shmuel says no. Marot Yeshlo Shevach Enlo. Okay. So now Baal Minayim Rab Huna. Kashal asked Rab Huna in light of this machloket of Rabbi Shmuel. Pireish lo et haShevach Mahu. What happens if he explained to him exactly what the Shevach was? Look at Rashi. Kashem Machar lo Hetna. What if when he bought it from the guy took upon himself that he'd pay the Shevach? The Shevach was specifically mentioned in the deed of sale with the Achrayut. So now he says, how would Rav and Shmuel relate to that? Because Shmuel said, Rav always said you get back the Shevach, even though it wasn't specified. But the question, what about Shmuel? Do we say, Tamil Shmuel, Mishum de lo Piresh Shivcha, Vacha Piresh Lehu? Do we say in the Machloket Rav Shmuel that why did Shmuel say you don't get the money back for the Shevach? Because it wasn't agreed upon in advance. But here it's agreed upon in advance. So maybe even Shmuel would say, now you get it back. Or Dilma, maybe not even. Time it is Shmuel. Why did Shmuel say you don't get the Shevach back? Kevan, delete that karka, mechzei keribit. He says, maybe Shmuel svar is a different svar altogether. Right? Maybe since the guy bought the land from him. Now he never really owned land. Why didn't he own land? Because it turns out, B'dieved, and he never owned the land ever because the guy who sold it to him never owned the land either. So I can't sell you something that's not mine. So bottom line is, what was the whole transfer of money at the end of the day? Because it's a big loan. The Guzlin managed to get a loan out of this buyer for as long as it lasted until the Nigzar managed to get the land back, correct? And now he's got to pay him back the money. So when you actually look at the essence of the story, the Guzlin managed to get a loan for a short-term loan. So now if he's got to pay him back the Shevach, it looks like he's paying him back more than he lent him. He's paying him back Ribbit. And it looks like Ribbit. Maybe that's what Shmuel says and can't get the money back. So even if it was agreed upon between the seller and the buyer, it would still be not payable if it turned out that the land didn't belong to him to begin with. Okay, that's Amalek. So this was a question asked to Rav Huna. So Rav Huna said, in velo, yes and no. The Gemara says, v'rafia b'yad, he wasn't really quite sure. It was shaky in his hands. Rafia means like it was very lightly held in his hands. Look at Rashi over here. Rashi says, in velo, t'chila amar in, first he said yes, v'chazav, then he said lo, rafuya b'yad, it was very shaky in his hands, shelo ya yodea ta'amosh of the v'rafia. It wasn't sure so clear. He wasn't sure about it. Which I always get excited about these answers. Because it shows you, Amoraim, not knowing is not a crime. And saying maybe yes, and then change your mind and saying maybe no, is not a crime. You don't have to know everything, right? You know, it's not a crime. And just human beings, end of the day, right? You know, that's my famous story, Amitai, right? I won't repeat it again. Everyone knows the story, Amitai, Shuk Kladi. He closed the book and walked out. What can you do? Itmar, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel, Ma'ot Yesh Shevach Enlo. So Rav Nachman says Amar Shmuel, which we saw now, that Shmuel says you never get the money back, right? He says, Enlo, Afa Pi She Piresh Lo Et HaShevach. Even if he explains it, yeah, Rav Nachman seems to give the answer that Abahu never knew. Rabbi Abahu wasn't sure. Rav Nachman says, under all circumstances, he doesn't get the Shevach. Even if it was explained, my timer, what's the reason, says Rav Nachman? Kevan de karka ein lo, schar ma'otav omed v'notel. Since he never had land, it's basically schar ma'otav, he's taking interest. Okay, so now, on this Rav Nachman, we've got a kasha. So according to Rav Nachman, it's pretty straightforward. The question was asked Rabbi Abahu, what would Shmuel say? Shmuel would say, you don't get the money back, why? It looks like ribbit. So Abahu, eti vei Rava le Rav Nachman, Rava asked now kasha to Rav Nachman. Brings a brighter. This is a brighter Masechet Gittin, and the brighter says like this. He says, "Ein motzin, you can't take money, right? You can't use, in other words, what do you mean, ein motzin lachidat peirot? If somebody comes to you now and says, you owe me money, a widow arrives and says to the Yorshim, you've got to pay me my ketubah, you aren't supporting me, or we'll see in a moment, you know, we saw in Gittin as well, that a father, when he marries a woman, he takes upon himself to marry the daughters if they're living in the house. There are lots of things in the ketubah that he takes upon himself to pay. And now they come claiming the money. So are they not essentially pre-existing creditors? And if you sold land and now there's no money to pay for them, from the moment that they were born, essentially they're pre-existing creditors, correct? So any land that you sold since they were born, they can go back to those guys and chop the land and say, I'm entitled to my money. Everybody following me? Everybody got it? Everybody with me? Right? So it says, the brother says, the Rav says to Rav Nachman, ain't motzin, you can't use that claim, right? La'achilak peirot, to feed them fruits, or l'shevach karkaot. This is our question. Or l'shevach karkaot, for improvements to the land to pay a guy back. Ulemazon ha'isha v'habanot menichasim meshubadim. From even from menichasim meshubadim, you can't use these things. Why? Mivnei tikkun ha'olam. Rashi says over here, he quotes the case of the Mazon Isha, because you've got the Tanai. And the Ketubah says, that I tell you, Tav Tibbeti, I'll pay for my land, the Chanabadi, the Tzoran as well, Bana Nukvin, Tav Elichiminai, I'll be responsible for them. Even your Nyak Bebet, they're not going to sit in my house, they're going to have to share from my assets. Add it, Tilakhan, the Gurin, they'll get married. Ain Motzin Lechad, Mikol, Elu, Menichasim, Shuvadim. You can't go to the Chasim Shuvadim and claim you owe these amounts of money. Why? Because of Tikkun Ha'olam. What is Tikkun Ha'olam, says Rashi? If people can start hearing that their land they bought from you is susceptible to challenge from these people, nobody will ever buy land from anybody. Why? Look at Rashi, beautiful Rashi. Says that, isn't a man in the world who hasn't got this responsibility on him. So every single potential seller is a guy who's got a group of people waiting to go and claim from them. And if we allow, and they're pre-existing creditors, and therefore we allow them to go and attack Mekarka Meshubedet, no buyer in the world is chasin. How do you say chasin is protected? Everybody's at risk. So therefore, we don't allow it. Just wait, let's just finish this by taking for this question. Right? This is the Duke. But look over here. What does the writer say? From Karka Meshubedet you can't. From Bnei Charin, from Freeland, you can. Uketani Mia. What was one of the things we listed in this writer? L'shevach Karkaot. And says now Rav to Rav Nachman. The writer says that Shevach Karkaot, the improvements of the land, you can't get it from Karka Meshubedet. But you can get it from Karka Lo Meshubedet. And you said, Rav Nachman, that according to Shmuel, right, that Shevach they never get, why? It looks like ribbit. Aren't we speaking about over here, my love, belokeach mi gazlan? Isn't that what the bride is speaking about? That a gazlan stole the land, a guy bought from a gazlan, and now we say that he can get the Shevach, but not from Karka Meshubedet, from Karka Meshubedet, but still, he can get it. If there's Karkesh and Meshubedet, if it's unencumbered land, go get it. Go get it to hate. And why did you tell me over here, in the name of Shmuel, that you can't do it? What's someone, for our answer, what does he want to say?
It's amazing what Rashi says about it, because when we, Nazir, or I think it was in Nazir, Tikkun Olam was something totally different. The Tovah, what, yeah, Mipnei Tikkun Olam.
What was Tikkun Olam in Nazir?
I cannot remember. It was something totally different.
If you can't remember, how you know it was totally different?
I just remember it was something totally different because I asked you at the time, what was Tikkun Olam?
Okay.
And it took quite a while until we got to.
Okay, please, I know you're saying Nazir.
The better of mankind.
Okay, yeah, well there is Tikkun Olam, is the betterment of mankind, because at the end of the day, part of mankind is trade. And if you, when he, I think that he used a bit of.
Think about free trade.
Okay, yeah, but what he's saying, but because far the free trade is the betterment of the world. In other words, the world needs to function. If trade, yeah. If everybody's at risk every day, they're getting knocked on the door by some widowed or some orphan daughter that their father, that their mother, you know, hasn't got food, whatever the case is, then. But maybe, okay, well, look. So Gemara says, so Rav Nachman says to him, no. We're not talking about a gazlan. This bride is discussing a balchov, not a gazlan. He says, this is from a Baal Chov. I'll skip that. Says, look at the very first wide lines of Rashi. Look at Baal Chov. Shetarche Baal Chov imenu b'shvil Chovo. That's what it's talking about. The Lord, it wasn't stolen. Da'i vara itle shivcha, de mechirem aliatehi. He says, no, when it came to Gazlan, there's pashut et de shevach. There was a proper sale. Koz man shelo tarve imenu, shim pra moche ma'otav le Baal Chov, arayu mesulak bila lakuchot. He said, no, if it was a gazlan, there it's a proper sale, it's a good sale, as long as he pays the money back. So it's a different story altogether. Here we're talking about a balchov in this brighter. A gazlan, he can never pay from a gazlan. It's a balchov. Why has he got shevach karka? Sorry. I was thinking. Right? I'm busy thinking of Nazir here. I'm trying to remember what they're still talking about. But he says it's other around. He says, no, this is still what a balchov. In a balchov, it's a proper deal. So the guy owed money to somebody, and the guy wants to chop the money back. If he pays off the balchov, the land's his. So that was a proper sale, and therefore it's never ribit. But in a gazlan, it was never his to sell. So there was never a sale of land here. The land never belonged to him, therefore it looks like ribit. Right? So Rav says, Rav Nachman, I don't understand Rav Nachman. Even balchov, but how can it be? How can this bright be talking about a balchov? Balchov being a creditor. Because look at the Reisha, Ema Reisha, Ein Motzi'in La'achilat Peirot. The bright is speaking about that you can't challenge this land to pay for Peirot. What is Peirot now? He says, Ve'iba Balchov, Balchov Mitle, Piri. If there's a creditor that you owe a creditor to, what do you mean to pay him back the fruits that you owe him? Why do you owe a creditor fruits? You owe food to a widow, or you owe food to an orphan. It can't be talking about a balchov. It must be that it's your land and it was gazel, it was stolen. Ba'amashmua, balchov govet ha-shevach. Shevach in ava perot lo. Ele pshita ve-gozel ve-nigzal. We're talking over here, the whole bride discussing a gozel and a nigzal. Look at Rashi over here. He says, "Lachidat peru, tzadah ha'mari b'sadesh etarfu melea peru b'yad lokeach." It was when he got it back, it was full of fruits. V'chozel lokeach likvot min amochen. Now the buyer wants to go back to the seller and say, "I want to buy." Ibes shetarfa balchov. If it was a creditor that came and chapta the field, mitar balchov perot gemurin amechubrim b'karka. Where does the balchov be entitled to get all these ripe fruits that are on the ground? V'anat shechin b'karka klum she'achol etorfan. They don't need the land anymore. In other words, the Havamina Rashi says, "What's the Havamina?" That the guy was owed money, came and he said, "You owe me money. I'm taking that field." But let's say that he can take the field. But he can't take all the ripe fruits. Let's say they do big stacks of hay already rolled up on their land. Those don't belong to the balchov. The most he can do is take the land. He's got no right. They belong to the guy who farmed the fields. The bal they're movables. They're not part of the karka anymore. They're already ripe. If all the land, the fruits on the tree, we said before that if it's fruit on the tree and it's about to be picked, if it's picked already, right? That's how we said it. It's not yours. So what do you mean the fruits? The fruits have got no standing over the balchov. It can't be a balchov. It must be speaking about a gazlan and a nigzal, where the guy stole land, he sold somebody else's land, and now it wasn't his land to begin with, and therefore the argument is like Rashid over there. Was it an improved before you stole it? Was it before you started? Was it an improved before you stole it? Who gets what? That's the way we can speak. It must be a gazlan and a nigzal.
And, but what happens if it's not movables?
If it's not movables, then it would belong to them. Then they'd be part of the land. Part of the land. But even then, there'd be a bigger argument. When I say not movables, I don't mean like buildings. Improvements would probably be shevach. I'm saying if there are trees on the field, if you stole or you sold orchard. Okay, and there are little blossoms on the tree now. So you can't say, well, it started blossoming, therefore the fruits are going to grow off the tree aren't part of the land. But if the trees are fully laden with ripe lychees about to be picked, if you don't pick them, they're going to go rotten tomorrow. Those are already considered as if they aren't part of the land. That's what we're speaking about over here with the peirot. Okay, so he says over here, about peirot law, elapshita begozev enigzal. And he says, "Aviyana Rava umidereisha, but goes of an nixal." The reisha is speaking about goes of an nixal of the payrot. Say for dami goes of an nixal. Therefore, the case of the shevach, they say also speaking about goes of an nixal. So Rav Nachman says, "I don't understand why midereisha. Why is such a thing? Hakadita. Why do we say the reisha is talking about goes of an nixal, and the say for the shevach is talking about balchov?" So Rava replies and says, "Valo taniachi." He says, you can't learn that. Why? Because we've got a brighter coming up later on. Especially the Daf Ayin Bet. Quite a long way to go. Right? In 2 months' time, we're in about 60 days. He says, L'shevach karkot keitzad. This whole story of shevach karkot, how do we deal with it? He says, Arei shegazal, a person stole fear from his friend. Varehu hi yotza mitachat yado. And now it's yotzei mitachad yado. We see what that means in a second. And that leaves his hand. Kishu gova et hakerim nechasim meshubadim. When he claims back the money, he gets the keren from nechasim meshubadim, the gashalatim, v'shevach kum nechasim menechorit. And the shevach only from freehold land. So echidan, what's the case? Ida mekritani gazlan. If so, he says over here now, this is Rava's kasha to Rav Nachman. So we got a brighter later on that says that she gazal sade mechaveiro, person stole a field, right, and then he sold it. Now the buyer gove etake. Well, I'm saying the buyer. We'll see the moment. The moment we're not sure who's gove what. Says over here now, and the brighter says that he claims back the keren from the chasim meshubadim even. And the shevach and from the chasim ben echav is on meshubadim. So he says, "Avi aravet yimechli." What are you speaking about? Ilay mekritani gazlan. If you tell me that this bride is talking about a gazlan, so miman gavi. Who does the gazlan claim money back from? What do you mean the gazlan claims money? Keshu gove gove. The gazlan's gove. Rashi is over here. Gazlan miman gavi. The fourth last line. Rashi says miman yesh lo ligvot v'chiman natanba. In fact, on the contrary, the gazlan's the guy who's got to pay. He started a field, sold it to somebody else, and that guy fixed it up. So, and look at Rashi Vishbicha, and that's the din we're speaking about. It seems over here, so Rashi, Rava says to Rav Nachman, no, from the bright later on, you'll see that the bright acknowledges that when a gazlan steals something and then he sells it to somebody, and that somebody now gets taken back from him, he does have a claim on Shevach. Now, the bright over here says that our brother says, Ein motzi'in lachila perot or Shevach karkaot from karka meshubedet, but you can from karka not meshubedet, correct? And he implies that our brighter later on of Ayin Dalet also says the same thing. That a gazlan who sells land, the buyer has got compensation for his improvements from unencumbered land. So according to Rava, it makes sense that this is what the buyer is speaking about as well. Therefore, the Rashi and the Sefer are all speaking about the same case. Also, we had a gazlan. They're not speaking about anything else. Speaking about Amale, so Rav Nachman, look at Rav Nachman, the answer to Rava is. He says, Amale, love terutze kemeterast. He says, since you've got to now go and bring me a brighter from there to explain the brighter over here, and it's not straightforward how this brighter could be, and you could have taught the brighter my way as well, but you had to rely on Daf Ayin Dalet over there. He says, Tarit Nami, but Baal Chov, I don't accept your proof, and we can explain it as well as a Baal Chov. Okay, I think we have to stop over here. All right, I think we'll start talking.